steps in the dark. Okay, yeah, Jenny's just going to jump. Woo! You know, if I did that, I'd be on my face down there somewhere. If you're new today, every first Sunday, down the hall, last door on the right, we have coffee with Bill and John. John will already be headed out to head down there after the service, and it's just a Q&A. You can stop and ask questions and get to know us a little better. We get to know you a little better. You're just welcome to be there, and you don't have to. But we'll be down there between the services if you'd like. Simply put, your first slide says, love, everybody always. One of the books that I've been highlighting for you in the sermons over the last couple of months has been Everybody Always by Bob Goff. Simple premise, love everybody, always. That's what we hope to receive, and that's what we hope to find in our faith, to be loved and to love. Our text today, though, is in Luke chapter 1. It's entitled A Mother's Friend. I don't think you can understand the Bible if you don't understand it, first of all, in a first century context. And so I try to take you back into that space, to the space where it was written and the people who were alive in these stories, and kind of create a drama for you if I could. Second thing is, it's also a human book. Yes, it's divine, and yes, it's spiritual, and yes, it's the Word of God, but it's also the story of human people as they met God. And so today I'm going to introduce you to my picture of Mary. This is a powerful woman. Mary is probably about 14. But here's what I want you to grasp today as we introduce you to her. Mary changed the Messiah's poopy diapers. I remember one time my Hannah, I'm so very proud of all of my kids, but this is a story. Hannah got a ticket at Southern Miss. She was a junior. She found the ticket unacceptable. Hannah is 5'2", weighs about 100 pounds. If the wind blows, she can fall over. She goes to the police chief, and he refused to fix the ticket. She had parked in a wrong spot. So she made an appointment with the president of the university. She goes in, and they have it out, as she says. And the president refuses to change to fix the ticket. So Hannah walks out. Next day, the president of the university calls her and says, that was pretty spunky of you. And Hannah said, are you going to change the ticket? She said, no. And she said, would you be on my cabinet? Hannah said, sure. But I go back in time to two nights in a row. I wake up with this sweet child who is a fireball in so many ways. And I pick her up in the middle of the night, and she would take her hands and she would start rubbing my face. And dads, moms, you know what I'm talking about? And she'd run her fingers through my hair, and just, I would hold her. And this particular night, I realized her hands were wet. And I thought, oh dear, she has wet her bed. And I just pray that Hannah's not watching online this morning. So I reach over and I flip on the light on the dresser as I have her on the changing table. And I look down and she is brown head to toe. Oh, no. And so then I look up into the mirror. And she has finger painted all over me. I clean that up. Everything is good. The next night I hear her calling out, and I go in there and I pick her up and I feel her hands. Two nights in a row. The angel came to Mary and said, rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you. Go back in time if you can. Remember some of the feelings. Parenting, living with parents. It's a dynamic, it's a space, it's a thing. The greeting begins like this. Mary, favored one, full of grace, it says. Favor, grace, pleasure. The Old Testament idea would have been that she is full of grace, she is full of sweetness, she is full of charm, she is full of loveliness, she's full of joy, she's full of delight. In other words, this is how God sees you, child. Make no mistake about it. She was of marrying age, but marrying age could be 14. In that region, even today, there are daughters picked for marriage between 8 and 12, although they do not get married yet. And Mary is probably between 14, maybe 16, if she's an old maid. Any of you remember being old enough that if you were 20 and not married, if you were 25 and not married, well, we got to begin to talk. It was a day that was different than ours, and we have to understand it in the concept. I want to just highlight that the common phrase, favored one, was an attitude and a personality that pleases God, and it was commonly understood amongst the people. So Mary would have instantly understood when the angel said, Mary, favored one, be happy, God has picked you. Yeah, it's a different form of greeting, but she would have understood, full of grace, that God is pleased with her in some capacity. This would have been the forerunner of the fruits of the Spirit, if I can say that. This idea of full of grace, it's very much like the fruits of the Spirit, sweetness, charm, loveliness, joy, delight. And how far has the church, has Christianity come from the fruits of the Spirit being the demonstrative sign that we are believers? It may be a place we want to go back to as we look back across Mary and find that in our own souls. But here's the part that strikes me. Mary says, on the slide you can see it, I think, Mary was confused about these words. And she wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Really? That's what puzzled Mary? Any of you ever had an angel pop into your room? Any of you looked up and there's the angel of God going, oh, favored one. Personally, I think I probably would have jumped out of my skin. I think most of you probably would have jumped. And would anybody have uttered expletives if an angel came up behind you? And then you're going to go expletive because you just got caught using expletives in front of the angel of God. Dear. Yeah. That would have scared the stuffing out of me. Really? The greeting is what puzzles Mary? So here's my question. As you look at this in human form, why is she puzzled? Why is she confused? Why does she wonder what kind of greeting this is? Had they met before? Well, the visits of the angel were not uncommon in the Old Testament. The Spirit of God speaking to people was not uncommon in the Old Testament. So here's what I wonder, has this child been visited by an angel before? Did they have a relationship prior that would cause her not to go, ah, angel, but rather, hi, thanks for stopping by. I wonder what that greeting means. I've never met the person who would just look up at the angel and go, I wonder what that means. Even when we think God has spoke to us about something, our first thought is, oh dear, do I want to do that? Do I have to do that? And when it pertains to personal holiness and the things that we know that we do wrong, our dilemma is not whether we know that they're wrong, but whether we want to stop doing them. Right? So I wonder, had Mary and this angel visited across the years? In my mind, it makes sense. If Mary was going to be chosen to be the birth mother of our Messiah, the Savior, Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, God as one of us, God in person, I think maybe the angel had been there before. Oh, this next slide, that's one that shouldn't be there. I think there's something happening here. For the angel then says to Mary, don't be afraid, God is honoring you. Look, Mary, look at this. You're going to conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll name him Jesus. This is beyond understanding. And Mary still appears calm in this story. There is no calming her, quieting her, picking her up off the ground, doing CPR because her heart has stopped over the visit of the angel. This is a conversation, and I think it's between two people who knew each other. God chooses Mary is probably not beyond her understanding, but it's beyond ours. She's too young. She's too inexperienced. She's too poor. She's not ready. Her home is broken. What do you mean her home is? Well, she's engaged. She's about to be pregnant. Joseph's not the dad. The people are going to talk. Mary is about to become an outcast in the society. If you'll remember last week when we talked about Joseph, one of the things with Joseph was, this is a stoning offense. We could have thrown rocks at her. Okay, bring it into our world. The Messiah is going to come from someone in here. God's going to pick someone who is the youngest age-appropriate bride in the house. Not from a family that's well known. Not from a family that's prominent in the church. Not from the right family. It's just going to be ordinary folk. Joseph's a carpenter, just a hard-working guy. Do you think, because it was common, it's legend, it's story, it's history, that every mother prayed to give birth to the Messiah, and they picked her? Don't you think people are going to talk? Why did he get a promotion? Why did she get a promotion? Why did they choose her? Why am I not? It's in our DNA to be upset with that for some reason. It's part of our fallen state. So why does it matter that God chose Mary? It seems to me that the choice of Mary is the most perfect choice in the most imperfect situation. Does that mean something for us? Can you go there? That everything that would have appeared to be the perfect choice for the mother of the Messiah, God chose not to do. If you were going to redeem the world, change the world, or just lead a church, is this who you would have chosen? Would this be the beginning? Why would it be an infant to a poor little family, an ordinary family? In human terms, there is nothing right about this. And here's what I want you to learn on the slide. When God is at work, you must expect not to understand. That's hard for us to swallow. But things will happen in life that you do not understand. And you can spend a lifetime trying to figure them out, trying to find the answers, trying to get the story straight. You'll spend a lifetime studying, researching, praying, trying to figure it out. And in the end, you're going to push the mystery button because you're just not going to know. Why did this happen or why didn't that happen? I think God picked Mary, and no one understood why. But Mary and the angel talked, and it seemed to fall into place. So what I want you to learn about your faith today, that you are not going to understand everything that happens. That's why we call it faith. It's the big leap. It's the giant step. It's even a little step that just steps out of the box, out of the norm, and says, okay, God, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, but there you are. The what's next? I remember being expecting. For those of you that don't know, I've been a single parent before. My youngest was 13 months old, 14 months old, give or take. Yeah, I gained 25 pounds with my second one. I love those cravings. Dad, any of you gain weight during pregnancy? Yeah, come on. That's fun. Donuts? Yeah! Chocolate sauce! One of my colleagues used to be your district superintendent. Her husband said one night she did a whole can of chocolate syrup and a whole thing of strawberries. He loved it. He said he ate more of them than she did. Expect not to understand. If you're older and you remember, like I said last week, pregnancy meant not knowing the gender, not knowing the health. Now you get a 3D, 4D picture of what the child looks like, almost instantaneous. The idea was living in that space where all you really had to tell you what was at the end was faith, hope. And through that process, love began to build. And as the birth took place, there was instantaneous connection of love between mama and child, and often between father and child. And so the angel calmly says to Mary, don't be afraid, but this child will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High, the Lord God. We'll give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to the kingdom. What does that mean? I mean, of course she knew the Bible verse. She was familiar with some of the Old Testament. She knew the stuff. But what does that mean? Any of you ever had a voice come in and say, your child will be great and will rule the world? Most of us want to run and hide from those things. Go into politics? What a nut! Some parents grab onto their kids and hope they never leave, and some parents bless them to go and to be. The mystery deepens, for Mary is walking by faith into the unknown. She is not only hearing that she is pregnant, but that her child will be God. What a load. I remember when my 12-year-old son, Philip, who has turned into quite an adult, I am so proud again. He told me, you know, I practically raised myself. You must think you're God, Jesus. Yeah. Now this makes perfect sense, doesn't it? See, I'm wanting you to get this picture of where Mary is and how wonderful this is. Yes. Oh, wow, pregnant. Yay. And oh, dear, Joseph's not the dad. The people were going to talk. It just doesn't make sense. And so the next thing I want you to know about your faith is that will help you along life's way if you can expect not to know. There are some of us who read and study so that they will know that they know that they know more than other people. I know what I believe, and you remember my quote from a friend, Jesus sure gets in the way of what I believe sometime. God is getting in the way of what we think we need to believe about faith. We think faith is certain when faith is not. Faith is that ability to go forward and to believe when nothing adds up. When the what's next just doesn't fit into your puzzle. When the thing, the situation happens and you just know God will be there, but you don't see the plan, the recipe. You can't Google it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book I'm highlighting for you through Advent, God is in the Manger. It's that thick, guys, that thick. Holy theology arises from knees bent before the mystery of the divine child in the stable. Without the holy night, there is no theology. We find ourselves in the midst of a mystery that there will be a baby who requires changing, nursing, cleaning, tending, who will grow, who will become, who will step out, who will live and show us the personality of God and die and rise again and live in our hearts and souls forever. Does anybody understand that? I don't. And I have undergrad and graduate work in the subject. Most of faith is a mystery. And lastly, the big part about our love for God is the ability to say, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be as you have said. We not only learn from the child Jesus, but we learn from the child Mary. To walk into the unknown with courage. And our knowledge is not knowing what's next, but that God will walk with us regardless of what's next. Today we come to the Holy Meal. The way we'll do this is the ushers will help you come around and go back down. How do we do that? We come down the center and go back. They'll tell you. Kate's going to come up and help me. Yeah. You know, when you've only been here since July, it makes, what, 4 communion services you've done. Doesn't matter that I've done it for a long time. Thank you, Kate. Kate, our worship leader in this service, will join me today in serving you. We have sanitized our hands. We will hand you a bit of the bread. You will dip it into the chalice. If you're uncomfortable, we also have what we irreverently call little to-go packs that you can open yourself at your seat. You'll come down the center, we'll serve you, and you'll go back contemplatively to your place. Kate, if I may. The body of Christ, broken for us today. The blood of our Lord, shed freely for us today.